This is the fear of science.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to The Fear of Science, the show that dives into the wide world of science topics to demystify, debunk, and delight. Each show features a new science fear or science-related fear, along with special guests and more surprises and discoveries along the way. My name is Daniel Chai.
And I'm Jeff Porter.
And today we are here at the beautiful Inspiration Lab at Vancouver Public Library to talk about a subject that is literally all around us.
Yeah, that's accurate.
It is, of course, our Fear of Radiation episode. And luckily, here in studio, we have two special guests to help us investigate and learn about what this all is about.
My name is Max Kanakin. I'm a health physicist at TRIMPF, Canada's National Laboratory for Particle and Nuclear Physics. I basically work with dosimetry and radiation every day. I get consulted on radiation things, and I guess that's why you brought me on here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
And I'm Ian Boothby. I do a comic book called Exorcisters for Image Comics, and one with my friend Giselle Legacy, and one with Nina Matsumoto for Scholastic called Sparks. I also do two podcasts right now, the Seeky Dragon podcast and Fansplainers with Dave Dedrick.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know Daniel through the world of improv.
Yeah. Nice. Well, glad to have you both here, especially for, you know, in this modern day and age where, you know, Godzilla is still running rampant, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's very important to...
I think they caught him.
What?
Yeah, true story.
And is Godzilla him? Because it had babies in the Matthew Potter.
Yeah,
Godzilla's
a she.
Right? Yeah, it had a lot of babies, right?
I watched the newest Godzilla on the airplane coming back from San Diego the other day, and I watched like half of it, so I'd have no idea how it ended.
I like that they're trying to make Mothra queen of the monsters now, and look, no. I mean, bless your heart, but you know, she didn't earn that yet.
But that
seems condescending.
But would that mean that if Godzilla is king of the monsters, would that then mean that? All right.
Would they be married?
Yeah. Or at least, you know,
they'd have some weird kids. That's for sure.
Well, it's like the one thing Godzilla doesn't have is wings. Otherwise, he would be a full-on dragon. Yeah. And no one calls Godzilla a dragon, though clearly he's a fire-breathing giant lizard. He's a dragon.
But people
have issues because dragons should have wings. But
if he
got involved with Mothra and they had a baby, you would have a dragon. Yeah. And then it would just be a full-on
dragon.
We're
answering the tough questions.
This is a science podcast, right?
Yeah. I actually just found out that Godzilla was supposed to have come from the test in the Bikini Atoll. That's where he got exposed.
That's right.
Yeah. See, and that's a great segue to our first question that we always like to start off all of our podcasts with.
Yeah, why are people afraid of radiation?
Oh, man. It's a long answer. I think just ignorance, really.
Yeah.
I will answer it shortly with ignorance. Yeah, people have just really only been exposed to things you see in the media, or like nuclear weapons is a big thing. Of course, Fukushima, Chernobyl, things like that. So people only really see the bad sides of it, I guess, and don't really know much about the good sides of it and everything it can do for us.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're scared of cancer, and we're told on the news every other day that there's something that's giving you cancer, and usually that's radiation. Mm-hmm. If you're underneath like a cell phone tower or near you know, the wrong kind of cat, you'll get a radiation, and it'll eventually kill you, and you can't see it. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah, that's terrifying. The stuff that you can't see is the scary stuff.
There's so many electronics here.
I haven't heard of cat radiation. That's a new one.
Okay, well, you gotta watch the news a bit more. Didn't know Godzilla was a dragon either.
A cat scan.
Oh, cat scan. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only good thing I know about radiation is that it can either, one, give you powers, or give you extra limbs.
Jokers.
That all sounds pretty good to me.
I might beg to differ on the extra limbs thing, but I mean, it could give you extra powers. You never know.
Oh, so I should check out some more major radiation. Chernobyl taught me different than that, actually. That it's pretty bad.
Now, where did radiation, or when, or how did we learn about radiation?
It was actually, oh man, was it Becquerel?
It's not the Curies, is it?
No, she synthesized radium. I think, yeah, it was Becquerel or Röntgen. Anyway, they had some photographic plates, and they had a piece of like uranium ore. These photographic plates were never exposed to light, but he found out when he developed them after that they had an image on them. And so that was really just the energy deposition from the radiation onto the film, which produced that. And then they went, oh, hey, what is this stuff? We should study it. And there you go.
Wow.
Did a lot of scientists back, like the Curies, like did a lot of scientists back then end up getting sick because of their research into radiation?
Yeah, they did. I believe both Pierre and Marie succumbed to some sort of eventual cancer. Right. The thing about radiation is really it's based on the dose. And so they would have picked up a bunch of dose over the course of their lifetime and got cancer. It's not really going to be something like Chernobyl. You got a massive dose and you immediately get cancer.
If it makes you feel better, though, the Curies would be dead by now anyway.
Oh, that's true. That's a very good point.
Unless the radiation kept them alive.
Oh.
Which would be a separate thing.
I've seen that episode of The Simpsons. I'm curious because for myself, I can remember, and I'm curious if you two plus yourself, Jeff, I wonder if, do we all remember the first time we learned to fear radiation. For example, for myself, I learned to fear radiation when growing up. We had one of those big tube TVs. Mm-hmm. And, I remember all the time my mom would keep saying, sit far away from the TV. Don't sit close to the TV. Sit far away because, you will get radiation. And that's literally just, you will get radiation. Did you have similar experiences?
Well, I grew up, with fear of the atomic bomb or any kind of, we're told you could destroy the world many, many, many times over. And it wasn't necessarily the explosion that would get you. It would be like the radiation afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then they would tell you what the radiation would do to you. And that was terrifying. Then intersplice that with movies like Them about giant ants and what have you. And it just seemed like radiation was this invisible evil that could hurt or mutate you.
I don't think I was ever really afraid of radiation. I just remember reading about the bombs when I was very young, and reading about people getting their shadows burnt into walls and being like, how does that happen?
That's what crazy. Is that?
And that's kind of how I got into studying physics, really.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So your fear, or the little bit of a fear you might have had, actually led to where you are now.
Yeah, I'd say, probably more curiosity.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was just too young to even understand I should fear it, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever actually been afraid of radiation at all. I remember, the whole scare in, the late 90s of your cell phone giving radiation and, people's genitalia falling off and because of that, your phone in your pocket.
So that's entirely ridiculous.
Yeah, what? Radiation... That's why I don't carry my phone in my pocket.
Radiation is really just exactly that, something that's radiating, right?
Right.
And so you kind of have to apportion it into two different things. So what I study and what I guess people are afraid of is ionizing radiation, which is something that can bust up your DNA and cause mutations or cancer or something eventually. Cell phone technology is just radio frequency. It doesn't actually have enough energy to break the bonds of your DNA, so it actually doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Cause same kind of thing. I remember, God bless my mother, but, she also was like, don't talk on the cell phone too long. Don't hold your cell phone too long. Don't put it on speaker so you can hold it away from your head. Right.
Yeah.
Which for new tech isn't the worst idea in the world.
True. Right.
It's something new. You don't know what's the issue. So fair enough. And then we'll eventually learn.
Yeah. And now instead we just have, Alexas all over our houses, pumping our houses full of
it's true. I mean, people are scared of it, and it does cost us a lot. I mean, for instance, smart meters, the rollout of the smart meters. I don't know if you remember that with BC Hydro. I'm from the Kootenays, and there's a lot of, I guess, people out there who have different ideas. And there's still people who will not allow a smart meter to be on their property.
So why were people afraid of the smart meters?
Because it makes it so that a technician doesn't actually have to go and read the meter. It can just do it wirelessly from his car. So they're afraid of the RF signals coming from that as well.
Oh.
And I've heard there's people who are afraid of Wi-Fi. Right. People trying to campaign to get Wi-Fi out of schools.
That's a difficult thing to avoid nowadays.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We're surrounded by a soup of
everywhere. It sounds ridiculous, but the thing I think, you know, people would argue, and not me, but people that I'm just referring to now, is if it was dangerous, they would still not tell you it was dangerous. Mm. So the people who would inform you that you're in trouble aren't going to, period. So unfortunately, it falls to the weirdos to reveal stuff, and sometimes they're correct,
right?
Like later on, you know, if someone's to tell you your water isn't safe to drink, it's fine, tastes fine to me, and then you find out later on, no, it's not, it's got horrible things in it and whatnot. But people, you know, the government will tell you, no, your water's fine. Everyone will tell you things are fine, mm-hmm. until they're not.
Yeah,
no, that's interesting too, because we every technology type episode that we've done, that tends to be the fear that it comes down to. When we did fear of robots, and people aren't afraid of robots, they're afraid of the people who control the robots. and with technology, that's a kind of common thread, is that we don't trust the people who control it, or we don't trust the government telling us the information being true or not.
So who do you turn to for the information that isn't Triumph. You? Yes, Dr. Brian. Hey. Absolutely. Appreciate that.
You turn to amazing podcasts like this one, where you set the record straight.
Now, Max, how did you become involved with Triumph? And what inspired you to get into this field of study, this field of work?
I've just always been really interested in physics, and it's always been something I wanted to do, is become a physicist. I guess I'm one of those weirdos who actually reaches their dreams, and then
there is happens.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, Ian, you are a comic book artist or a comic book writer and artist as well. you know, comics, you know, we
I have no business being here. This is clear. I yield my time. Yeah. Clearly, that's what I should be doing.
Now, you're not an expert.
Now, the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, a lot of us, we get our knowledge, you know, a lot, you know, from media, from movies, from comic books, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
most of us who get our knowledge about radiation from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or so, just in general.
Or just, Turtles.
Well, that was a parody of course, Teen Titans, X-Men, and Ronin, which Frank Miller's Ronin. Most people don't know that, but okay, please continue. It's the only damn thing I know about this thing.
X-Men, Children of the Atom, right?
Sure.
Spider-Man gets his power from a radio to spider, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So is there a reason why so many comics and superheroes, supervillains get their powers from radiation? Both heroes and villains get powers from radiation. Does that give how does that impart knowledge onto readers of all ages?
Okay, well, the old superheroes were like Superman, where it was our fear of the unknown and space aliens. So your heroes would be coming from far off lands, like Wonder Woman from a mysterious island, or Superman from space. Or a more grounded thing like Batman, having his parents being killed and being, you know, using science, whatever, to fight crime. But in the 60s, we were afraid of, atomic warfare. That was our big fear. EC Comics had been shut down. They did mostly horror stuff. And the Comics Code came in and said, you can't do anything about the undead or supernatural. And so the only thing that was left was science. And it was our fear.
Everybody's picking on scientists.
That's right. That was the only thing that was left that was legally allowed for comics to do. Not particularly legally, but that they weren't allowed to do. So
sure.
It was like, what are people talking about right now? And they were afraid that Russia was going to attack and bomb us. And we were afraid. And we had the space race going on as well. So it was all science-based. So yeah, you had your Hulk, you know? You had your Spider-Man. It was all science-based explosions, accidents, things have gone awry. Or it was a scientist figuring stuff out and using science, like Tony Stark, to build a suit. And and become a hero that way. But it was all science based. But definitely, the atomic threat was on the mind then, and that colored the Silver Age of comics in the 60s. Yeah,
they're not very accurately science based, though. I correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I don't think...
What problems do you see?
You look like you're about ready to fight me.
No, it's all right. Fine. No, go ahead.
I believe that gamma radiation does not cause you to become the Hulk.
What?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Max.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
True. What?
I have to go and turn off a light.
So what different types of radiation are there?
There's quite a few. Yes, you mentioned gamma. That's just basically high energy RF radiation. And there's charged particle radiation, which is really bad if you get it inside you. Basically, because once it's inside you, then you're committed to absorbing all of this energy, which is what we call dose.
Oh, now you can use radiation for good as well, not just create, well, but like not meaning just superhero good, but like actual in the real world, because you can use radiation for cancer treatment as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great example. So cancer is just something that you want to kill, basically, mm-hmm. right? So if you can insert some kind of a charged particle into it to force it to deposit all of its energy there, then it will, kill the tumor.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So not all radiation is bad.
And you can also see what teeth of yours need fixing.
Oh, yeah, like with x-rays and stuff.
Hopefully x-rays, that would probably be the best way to do it.
That's true.
No, very true, Jeff. Definitely radiation. You know, I'm glad we have it. But, you know, it can be used. It can also be used for if not nefarious, then definitely for aggressive purposes. There's a microwave gun?
What?
Have you heard of a microwave? Because a microwave also is radiation?
Yeah, it's different. So the way a microwave works is it basically vibrates water. So it's tuned to the right frequency to vibrate water. And those vibrations generate heat, basically, and that's what a microwave is. So that's not ionizing radiation, although it is a type of radiation.
Right.
Is this some sort of death ray you're speaking of right now?
Yeah, yeah. There's a Wikipedia page about it.
We've been working on death rays for so long.
We do all the research on this show, Wikipedia. Yeah. That's where it's
so at. I also feel that, like, I'm also wary about talking about this any further because I don't necessarily want to be like...
You have a lot more time to kill. Wow. It's a bad time to pull the plug.
Yeah. Or more just like, tomorrow morning, it's like, knock, knock, knock. Hello? Are you Daniel Chai? Yes. Come with us.
You know too much.
I like that you did a lot of object work with the door there.
Yeah, for
the listeners. The improv training come in there.
But yeah, I mean, like that kind of, it's science, right? Like science is the stuff that we learn. We not just learn about it, but we also learn about how to make it work for us. Like, okay, now, so we learned about Godzilla. How do we control Godzilla?
Mm. That never goes well. You gotta let Godzilla do something. Oh, yeah, it's a hammer situation. Yeah, it's like it can bash in a head or it can build a house. Yeah, that's what you can use it for. But also, it's something we are just, we've learned a lot about it, but it's scary.
Right.
The unknown is scary to people.
Yeah. You have to be cautious around radiation, right? Like, what situation?
Well, we are in it no matter what. Like, you're never not around radiation.
Yeah. Right. So what do we mean by that? What do we mean by radiation is around us all the time?
Is it like God?
Or love?
What if he was one of us?
So we're exposed to background radiation all the time, basically. And this just comes from many sources. Comes from the cosmos, just things raining down on us. The majority of what we get exposed to is in the form of radon gas, which is just produced by basically uranium in the ground.
So there's uranium in the ground?
There's uranium inside you, actually.
What?
Do you like to eat food?
Yes.
That's some uranium inside you.
What's the most common form of radiation?
That's a strange question.
Ian.
I guess.
Look what we've done.
What are we exposed to the most?
I would guess gamma radiation is probably...
We are all Hulks.
Yeah, like alpha radiation doesn't travel far. So that's what something heavy like uranium gets rid of is called alpha radiation, which is just a helium nucleus. So two protons and two neutrons together, which is a charged particle. So that doesn't travel very far because it wants to get rid of its charge. And that's why we use things like that for cancer treatment, because that way you can really localize where you're depositing the energy.
Oh, interesting.
So what if we wanted to protect ourselves from the worst kind of radiation, sorry, I'm not hosting this thing. I got questions.
We're good.
You know, so people who are scared of radiation, like, and they want to protect themselves because they think there's radiation around me and I want to protect myself. What should we be trying to protect ourselves from? Or is it just a lost cause? Forget it. Just go for a walk.
Well, I don't think anything really. I mean, like
UV sunglasses. I should put those on.
Again, non-ionizing.
I understand.
Yeah, like radiation fields vary all over the world. Like I mentioned, I come from the Kootenays, and that's up in the mountains, right?
Right.
And it's basically just a big granite batholith, which happens to contain a lot more uranium in those kinds of rocks. So the background that I get there is about 8 times the background you get just living in Vancouver, because we're on these like tidal plains by the ocean. So there just isn't as much uranium around.
Wow, I learned something today. That is fascinating.
I learned I'm never moving to the Kootenays.
So if I'm in a house full of electronics, I got a microwave, I got the big TV, I got a couple of computers going. There is no danger from that level of anything coming from anything?
Okay. Not at all. Wow. Actually, you all have a radioactive source in your house. Did you know that?
Is that my nuclear power plant?
Let me see it.
It's a tiny one. It powers my house.
Actually, no, your smoke detector.
Oh, what? That's right, yeah.
So I mentioned that has an isotope called americium-241 in it, and that is an alpha emitter. I mentioned they're charged particles, which do not travel very far in matter because they want to get rid of their charge. So basically, this moving charge is a current which closes the circuit and keeps the alarm not alarming. But as soon as you put a bunch of smoke in there, these particles can't travel through that smoke, so it opens the circuit up and it alarms.
Or if you're like my smoke detector, if you have too hot of a bath.
When did we start using smoke detectors?
Oh man, I don't know. 60s, 70s?
Yeah. Again, during the time, you know.
Yeah. It would be sometime after we were able to extract amber.
Right, yeah. I'm just kind of curious. I feel like they've always been around, but of course they can't have been. I was just curious.
Yeah. Before it was just someone yelling.
Yeah, but not in a crowded theater. That was the one thing you were not allowed to do.
We talked earlier about Godzilla. We touched upon...
Just making a Godzilla podcast, brother.
Fear of Godzilla. That's now the episode.
But, for our esteemed guest from Triumph...
I wouldn't say esteemed.
what examples from pop culture, you know, the Chernobyl, or even what's... is there a superhero movie that involves radiation recently? I know there's like Terminator Dark Fate, but that's just a big bomb that goes off. But how realistic or how good is the media's representation? That's one of my favorite questions to ask during Fear of Science episodes. Be like, how is this representation of this fear shown? Is it correct? Is it incorrect?
Just find out the movies are very wrong.
Yes.
like movies, the media can be very wrong. It's just people aren't really informed, I guess.
Well, pop culture just uses radiation the same way they use magic, like the exact same way you would use magic. It would summon Godzilla, but if you didn't, you would use magic to summon a dragon. You would have radiation give a superhero powers, but if not, Doctor Strange gets his powers from magic. It's interchangeable with magic, because magic used to be the thing that was the unknown thing that we feared because we thought the devil was around us at all times and it would be, and witches and whatnot, and that was all... hot nonsense, but it comes from the same fear, I think, of there's something out there that you don't understand, and it's going to mess you up.
But still, it's not even just in the media. Like, it goes up to governments, and like, for example, fear of radiation really caused a lot of terrible things to happen at Fukushima. They really didn't need to evacuate all of these people, but they just got very scared and got all these people out. So people actually died during that evacuation, which was not necessary.
Right.
Oh, really?
Oh, it just, yeah.
Yeah, I think it does all come down from fear of the government as well. And, whenever you hear, radiation is coming on the waters and it's coming for us, and it never is anything, but again, you fear that the government would not tell you if it was. You don't have that source of, like, who's honest in this thing? Who doesn't have an agenda? Who can just lay out facts?
Exactly. And it's really too bad that scientists aren't consulted more. I mean, after Chernobyl, women were literally recommended to pregnant women to abort.
Really?
So, like, for no reason whatsoever. I mean, they got a little bit of dose, and it wasn't at all going to harm anything in their baby.
Right.
But that literally happened. And just because people are just terrified.
Right. Though in the past, the government has told you that things were fine with pregnancies, and they were not. True. You know, and that's... And there's
a little mind in there.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's absolutely correct. And so, you know, there's reason... And when people fear the government or don't trust the government... Fair, you know. There's examples you can easily grab to see, like, they won't tell you when something's going wrong. So again, it's who do you? What's a good source now, of information?
Do we still use nuclear energy? Are there nuclear power plants? That's still a thing, right? They still exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How dangerous are those? Are those bad? Are they good? I don't know.
If they're run properly.
I hear Chernobyl didn't go well.
Chernobyl did not go well. Chernobyl was just ridiculous. It was, those reactors were never designed to produce power. They were designed to produce plutonium.
Right.
For the weapons program. And so, they were just being put into an application that they should not have been in.
Right.
Never worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's nuclear power. Unfortunately, there's none in BC. It's actually in law that there will never be any nuclear power in BC or any, like, uranium mining or anything, which is also unfortunate because BC has a lot of uranium.
I drive by that sign on Boundary heading in, it's like
nuclear weapons free zone.
Yeah,
which is cool. Nobody needs nuclear weapons, but nuclear power is really important.
Right.
So when did that go into effect? When was the scare about that?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. Sure.
I feel like, but also,
I understand you're not a historian. I
apologize. What about the history?
You just have to be the most informed person in the room, so we're going to constantly be turning.
But also, do we really want to have on our city sign to let our enemies know that we don't have a nuclear weapon ready to go? I mean, I played enough Command and Conquer to know, you know, you kind of want to let people know maybe you have a nuclear bomb that you can drop to finish the game.
I know a lot of countries think of Vancouver as being a possible powerhouse for nuclear weapons.
We're definitely on a list.
What's really unfortunate about it is, like, you can get so much energy from nuclear power. Like, one fuel pellet, which is about a centimeter tall, it's a little cylinder, a centimeter tall with a centimeter diameter. Mm-hmm. That's the equivalent of, like, an entire train car of coal.
Wow.
And a coal plant burns, like, 9,000 tons a day or so.
Yeah, but there's no ill effects to that, though, right?
Actually, coal plants emit more radiation than nuclear power plants do.
What?
Damn it.
God.
Ian.
Yeah.
What? How am I the bad guy there?
Because you made me learn this.
Well, it comes down to really coal. It's just dug out of the ground. Again, you got uranium in there. But it's not a nuclear power station, right? So it's not subject to any regulations associated with nuclear radiation protection.
Right. So you're just burning it and not really caring about the rest of it.
Yeah. So that the fly ash that comes out once it's really been burned down is actually very radioactive because you've just distilled all this stuff down into a little point.
Wow.
And yeah, like, their stacks, they're not required to monitor for radiation, but...
Now, how much radiation is harmful? When does it, you know, background radiation okay, sitting in front of the TV?
Mom.
Is okay, you know, getting x-rays at the dentist, okay. But when does it start getting to be dangerous? Will any of us ever be in a situation where we may be in a situation where it may be dangerous?
That's highly unlikely. It's kind of a nebulous question because there's no real hard answer as to where, yes, definitely beyond this level.
Or like X rads? Do you measure in rads, or is that a video game thing?
Those are imperial units. We don't touch those things anymore. We measure things in sieverts.
Sieverts.
What? So, okay, I'm learning so much, Jeff. I'm not sure if I wanted to learn this much, but now I have.
Over the course of a year living here in Vancouver, you would get maybe 1 to 2 millisieverts per year. So just call that 1 to 2 units.
Okay. What if you lived in the Kootenays?
In the Kootenays, 7 or 8.
Whoa.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's places in the world where people will get a couple hundred.
What?
And there's no increased incidence of cancer observed there. And basically, if you think about it, if you believe in evolution, we evolved in a radiation field. So like we have systems, our body has many systems to adapt to the burden that radiation does to our body. And there's actually a concept called hormesis. Now, the scientific community is not really on board with this concept.
Ooh, sounds juicy. Yet.
But I am a firm believer.
There we go.
And it basically states that some amount of radiation is actually beneficial to you. And it basically would like, it boosts your immune system, kind of, up to a certain point, of course. So let's, back to your question, anything over, say, 500 units immediately, like as a short-term acute dose, then you would see some deterministic effects.
Okay.
So that could be like a skin burn or something like that. Actually, I teach the radiation protection class at Triumph, and I use as an example my father. So he had lung cancer, which metastasized into his brain. Unfortunately. So to try and make it not go to his brain, they just hit you with a prophylactic, really huge dose, just to basically clean everything out and make sure that it's not going to grow.
Right.
So my father, over the course of about 2 weeks, got 4,000 units.
Wow.
Okay. And yeah, after a few of these treatments, he got a sunburn on his face.
Wow.
And that corresponds to somewhere around 500 to 1,000 units.
Wow. So it's kind of like a reset button on them.
Basically.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Now, you were mentioning, so you teach what class do you teach at Triumph?
Radiation protection.
Radiation protection class. So for myself and for the listeners of Fear of Science, what is Triumph? What does Triumph do? What do you,
Triumph's basically a particle accelerator complex. So it was originally, the main machine was a 500 mega electron volt cyclotron, which is just speeds up particles. And they would do nuclear physics research, basically. And over the years, we've added more accelerators and the ability to hit more targets to produce different kinds of isotopes so that we can study. It's just basically a pure science facility.
Oh, wow.
Can you invent a new isotope? Like when you're like,
right,
we create.
Right, yeah, do it in this room.
That seems like the perfect environment for it.
I should have brought the chart of the nuclides. You can Google that and take a look at it. There's maybe 22 or 2300 different isotopes that are possible configurations of protons and neutrons put together.
It's like Breath of the Wild cooking. It's like, let's just put this in and ha-ha.
Very specific Zelda reference there.
Yeah. Listeners will get it.
So, yeah, like what we're doing at Triumph a lot is just studying nuclear physics and just trying to understand better what these isotopes do, where they came from. So we can make pretty much anything with our uranium targets. We bombard them with protons and that just tears them apart, and we can produce a vast majority of the chart to study. Now, what's cool about that and what they actually use it for is this is what's posited how nucleosynthesis occurs, like in star formation. Or where do we get all of these elements from?
Right. So
that's what we're studying.
It is possible to create a black hole.
That's what they're doing at Triumph, creating black holes.
We're still pretty low energy for that. You probably have to go to the LHC for something like that.
That's right. You can dream once we get the funding. It's going to,
everyone listening, fund Triumph.
It's interesting you're saying that we could use a little bit of radiation for health. It feels like the parents that want their kids to eat a bit of dirt. You know, just get a little sick when you're young. It'll get an immune system going there.
Well, the herd mentality, or what is it called?
Herd immunity.
Herd immunity. That's right.
Radiation, right?
Yeah.
Seems a little bit different.
I hear your kid is a little radioactive. Do you mind if I
just eat this radioactive dirt just for health reasons?
Yeah.
But yeah, like where international regulations came through to set these limits and to say, try and figure out where a deterministic effect is going to be found to say what is a bad amount of radiation. basically, they just took all of this really high dose data that they had observing people from atomic bomb survivors, radium dial painters. And so they just had all of this really high dose data, but they didn't know, they don't have any low dose data. And it's not really ethically okay to get a bunch of people and just irradiate them just to see what happens. So they basically had all this high dose data and they just drew a line down through zero and said, any amount of dose that you get is going to increase your risk of cancer proportionally, period.
Oh, interesting.
So that's the way all regulations across the world have been developed, is based on this idea that any amount of radiation is bad for you.
And that's not correct.
That is not correct.
Yeah.
The data that they actually had available, just nobody really wants to go out on a limb and say, hey, it's okay if you get 10 millisieverts or 20 millisieverts, yeah, yeah. Right? So we just...
They want to be liable. Yeah. We said that's okay. Oh, crap, they died of radiation poisoning.
Exactly. And so finally, with my generation, the scientific community is actually starting to research this concept of hormesis, that there is a beneficial dose for you. Up to a certain point, of course, but...
Is that why they say everything causes cancer? It seems like every time you watch the news, something new is causing cancer.
Yeah.
Everything to an extreme would, probably.
The poison is in the dose, is the famous quote.
Well, and you were saying about how there's radiation from the cosmos.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, like the, you know, maybe our future, you know, thinking about the future movies, right? Like Mad Max, where, you know, the ozone layer is gone, but we're all still here, right? And so maybe, like, what are, like, how would that work?
You want to talk about Godzilla so
I know. Well,
you know you can't bring it up again.
But
you wouldn't win a fight between Mad Max and Godzilla. That's really what you want to talk about.
Say in the future, if radiation levels kept rising, how would the human body adapt? Would it mean thicker skin? Would it mean like second pair of eyelids to
protect? Would it be
glow? Yeah, like. This is both a fun,
that's a hell of a question.
Kind of serious question. How would we, you know, because what is it? Is it a Galapagos Island? Or what's the one that has all the animals evolving?
That was the Galapagos.
Yeah, there you go, right?
Origin of species. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
That's right. So yeah, like how could we, if we had to protect ourselves from higher radiation levels in the future? How could we do that? How can the human body adapt? Can it?
There's about six questions in there.
I feel like Daniel's trying to get some kind of like very specific answer.
Okay, let me ask, because all right, so of that, are radiation levels rising?
No.
Okay, so. So that cancels a lot of those problems.
Why must you?
Sorry about that.
Daniel was looking for some kind of body modification in order to make it
look. You go to the Galapagos, you find a turtle, you hollow it out, you get in its shell, you use that as sun protection.
But that is also good to know, that radiation levels aren't rising. That is good to know.
Yeah, it's just, it's really... Radiation levels around Earth are really just based on the geology of the locale. That's going to impact your dose the most.
And I've gone to Triumph a couple times for a tour, and it's crazy. They talk a lot about the radiation there, but the amount of levels of security around it and the like minuscule possibility that there would be like a nuclear meltdown of any kind, or even a leak of radiation at Triumph.
It's impossible to have a meltdown at Triumph. It's not a reactor.
Right, yeah. even a leak of radiation.
Well, I've been told stories by some of the old-timers at Triumph where people in the 80s actually came to Triumph and they had no more nuke signs and just like trying to shut the lab down because they just had no idea what we did there.
Right. Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like this should be a whole second episode where we just learn about what Triumph does.
I want to suggest an episode about protesters that were wrong. I know some of them myself, but right. Yeah, it's yes. Just like they're best intentions, great signs,
right.
We should just get a couple protesters on, and then this entire episode is us telling them how wrong they are.
Yeah, that usually goes well.
That works well on Twitter.
So I'm at the... All right, sorry. Going with the protection thing. So I'm at the dentist. I'm getting x-rays for my teeth. That's fine. How many of those can I get in a row before I'm in any danger, would you say?
Oh, man.
I'm getting a big lead vest, so I'm figuring there's something about this. I'm weighed down with lead.
True. And the last time that I got one of those, the hygienist put the lead thing on me and then walked around the corner.
Well, they have to do many a day. To be fair, yes. So
maybe like 5 or 10,000.
Excellent. Good. I love it. That's fantastic. All of this is so comforting to me. It's ridiculous.
I'm laughing out of relief.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It really annoys me when they put that lead apron on you because it doesn't actually really do anything. The radiation is so collimated that it's really just passing through your head.
What I suspect with the, and again, I am not a scientist in any way.
Or a dental hygienist.
But I know I've gone through different forms of therapy where they put like sandbags on your feet and they put weight on you.
Oh.
And so it calms you down. So I figure like you're going through something that's a little anxiety-full. I'm like, I'm going to put this heavy bib on you. Now it weighs you down.
What?
Now you're calmer.
That's
because you feel there's, really, you're getting a bit of a hug.
Yeah, it makes people feel better. I'm protected.
Yeah.
Weighted blankets are a thing now, too. You can get a weighted blanket for your bed.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You get them for your dog, too.
Yeah, but don't get one made of lead. That's probably not the best idea in the world.
That just seems like kind of pointless expense to have.
Also, just dangerous having lead around.
Yeah. Okay. Is lead more dangerous than radiation?
How much
depends
are you
on the dose.
How
much are
dangerous?
Eating,
that's
really
much.
What it comes down to.
How much Taylor Swift is too dangerous?
Now we're getting off topic.
Back to Godzilla.
We should wrap up this episode. So for the last question, what I always do is we go to Twitter and I'll type in the subject in a Twitter and kind of find something that's happening right now.
Okay.
So one thing I wanted to talk about was 5G and radio frequency radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be worried about 5G and should we not be keeping our phones in our pant pockets
worries
of the
90s?
We did cover that a bit, but we didn't talk specifically 5G because that's a big one right now.
I guess it depends on how much you trust China.
Oh.
Mm. Well, there's all this stuff right now about Huawei and because they're doing the best at 5G right now and everybody's trying to make people not buy from Huawei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess part of it too is that since it's such a new technology, it's just the fear of people not thinking it's been tested or thinking that we're the guinea pigs for it.
Yeah, again, like it's just a higher frequency electromagnetic radiation, but it's still not ionizing.
Right. Oh, okay.
It doesn't have enough energy to actually break apart DNA bonds to do any damage.
Wow.
So we don't have to worry about 5G.
No,
Jeff, what I love about Fear of Science and our various episodes is that sometimes we'll do an episode and I'll leave very afraid.
You just won't leave this room.
That's right.
Fear of spiders episode.
Fear of spiders, fear of Bitcoin.
Spiders with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Can't trust them.
Each arm can hold a Bitcoin. But for today, I feel relieved.
I'm glad.
And I feel like I learned a lot. And yet, I feel inspired to learn more.
I know, I'm booking a trip to Chernobyl. That's for sure.
I would love to go there, man. It'd be really cool.
Apparently, it's supposed to be really neat with like how the environment's starting to claim it all back and everything, too.
But the things about Chernobyl, did you watch any of that Netflix series about people going the dark tourism stuff?
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
I had to turn it off. It just drove me crazy.
Why is that?
It's things like that. We were talking about the media before that really just put the fear in people. Like they're showing millions of people this episode and all these people are freaking out and they have no idea what they're looking at on their meter. They're just like, oh my God, it went to 3, it went to 4. But those values are really nothing.
Oh, really?
And you get all into it watching these. And
right, they went to Chernobyl on that dark tourism one.
Oh, no, it was Fukushima. I'm sorry.
Fukushima. Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah.
I was going to say, randomly, have you or other people from Triumph ever been, ever worked with or consulted on TV shows or or movies or anything like that?
I don't really think so.
And in a way, though, I guess it's because, you know, a bit of the fourth wall breaking. I guess it's also because, you know, watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wouldn't be as exciting if it was like, oh no, my turtles fell into the sewer and they're rolling around in green goo. They're fine, right?
Yeah, and then they die of cancer.
Oh no!
I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm not even immune from this. There's no herd immunity here. When I started working at Triumph, I was a radiation protection surveyor. And these are people who go into really hot areas and they produce maps and open up an area, basically, so workers can go in and they know the hazards that they're being exposed to. And the first time that I walked into the Isaac Target Hall, which is where the magic happens, I was expecting it to be just like glowing green or something so crazy. And you walk in there and it's just like, oh, there's just a bunch of tools sitting over there and some big hunks of metal, but there's nothing. I was a little bit disappointed, to tell you the truth. But yeah, there's just...
Yeah. There are no human turtle people walking around.
No Mothra flying around.
No, no, but I did find a frog once on the B2 level behind 3 security key card doors.
Really?
Really.
Was it mutated?
No, it was fine. We did check it for radiation before we let it back outside.
Yeah, that's cool. And when it took me years to get in here.
All right, start again.
It was a frog that was a big fan of the Ninja Turtles.
I just want to be them.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, that weird rash of bank robberies by a giant frog.
What's it need money for?
To decorate its pad.
There you go. Well done.
All right, on that note, thank you everyone for listening.
For our listeners of Fair Science, if they would like to know more information about your works, where can they find you?
Okay. Your local comic store or bookstore is where you'll find my books, Extra Sisters and Sparks. And SneakyDragon.com is the website for my podcasts. So, yeah, I'd say go there.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Triumph, we have a world-class communications department. They do a very good job. And actually, we do get members of the public just emailing them, coming in to ask questions about things. A couple months ago, somebody brought in a glowing statue that they wanted me to take a look at, and it was not radioactive. It was just, I can tell you that much.
Did it just have glow paint on it?
Yeah, it was glow in the dark, basically.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and so I had to explain to this guy.
No, it's worth $20,000.
No, it's clearly haunted, you fools. Magic is real.
But yeah, just go to the Triumph website. Just Google Triumph. And there's contact information on there. And they'll take care of it and send the relevant experts.
And they do tours there, too. So if you're really interested in Triumph, you can do a tour there.
They do. The public tours, I believe, are 1 p.m.?
Damn. Yeah, they're really fascinating. I've been a couple times and I always get to a point where I just have no idea what they're talking about anymore, just over my head. But it's still really cool to see the accelerator and everything.
But just come out to Triumph if you want to come check it out.
Awesome,
totally open doors.
Oh, that's so fun, Jeff. I love this episode because I learned so much. For example, I learned that Godzilla is not a dragon.
Yeah.
Which a thunder lizard.
I'm glad that's your takeaway, Daniel.
For if you are like me,
thunder lizard is a dinosaur. But okay, go ahead.
Okay, listeners, if you want to learn more, just like us, we invite you to follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also find us at
Science Fears.
And fearofscience.com for all of our back catalog. And definitely keep on listening, keep on sharing, and join us in the conversation. Again, I'm Daniel.
I'm Jeff.
We'll talk again soon.